message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Last week, took a couple of verses out of Philippians chapter 4, and the first four words of the passage was, "Be anxious for nothing." That's a tall order, isn't it? Be anxious for nothing. And I don't know about you, but I'm not making 100 right there. I don't have an A-plus on that. But hopefully, as we go along and journey through life and grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus, we're getting better, and we can move up from maybe a D-plus to a C-minus, and we can grow in this thing and learn to be anxious less and to trust Him more. Be anxious for nothing. That is the goal. So that was a challenging verse. That was last week. You can go to the website if you want to hear that message. Deals with anxiety and fear. Another verse for our text this morning, also in Philippians, chapter 4, and it's verse, no, I'm sorry, chapter 2, and it's verse 14. Another challenging verse. Another four words. Do everything without complaining. I was going to say, can I see your hand? But I can't. You can see mine. I'll raise my hand for you. How many of you have complained a little bit? Yes. So this is another one of these areas. We're not making 100 or maybe an A+, but we could be growing in this area and complain less and praise and worship and rejoice a little bit more. Do everything without complaining. Man, a tall order. So this morning, I want to focus on two words. But before I get to the first word, I want to just address something that fits well when it comes to the subject of complaining. I want to put you at ease regarding something in the church in this season that we're coming into, because there are a few, I haven't heard many, but a few, that are concerned that the church has cowered at the request of the government, that we have caved and we have given in to our government, and that we should be meeting, we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, and so we should, that we are wrong in doing this, that we are not gathering together like we should. Can I just help you with this a little bit? Number one, the church, and you know this, is not a building. The church is a body that meets in a building. And though the church may have left the building for a season, the body of Christ is alive and well. In fact, the body of Christ, I believe, is coming together even more so than ever. I believe God is doing something in His church. So I want you to rest on this. And I know that there are some, I don't know of any in our area, but I know in some across the nation, there are some that are refusing to comply and they're having church this morning. And I'm not here to judge them and cast stones, but I want you to know that it is okay to comply with our government leadership. In fact, Romans chapter 13 tells us to do so. It's not a lack of faith. It's not a lack of trust in God to comply for the protection of our community. Our government has not told us to stop worshiping God. They've not told us to refrain from preaching Jesus. Had they told us that, it would be a lot different this morning. You know that, right? We're still proclaiming Jesus. We just came out of worship. Our government leaders are asking us to cooperate with their effort to help protect us and keep us safe and potentially, definitely save lives. So that's what we're doing. We also have more than just a suggestion. We have a mandate from our superintendent as well, and we are complying with that. So if you are just wondering out there, well, I don't know that we're really trusting God. Somebody called me yesterday while I was driving down the road with this very issue, and this is what I told him. I'm driving down the road right now. I trust God, and I have my seatbelt on. I trust God, but tonight I'm going to lock the doors in my home. I trust God, but I took my blood pressure pill this morning. Oh, the pastor's on blood pressure medication. That's right, because I'm a pastor. We have to have some blood pressure help. So, two words. Here's the first word. Perspective. And we're going to spend most of our time with this word. Perspective. And you know what that is. Perspective basically is the way that we see things. You can complain that the glass is half empty, or you can rejoice that the glass is half full. You can complain that the rose bush has thorns, or you can rejoice that the thorn bush has roses, right? It's just perspective. It's just the way we see things. Some might even say, well, it's just a spin. All right, it's the way you spin things. But your perspective has much to do with your attitude in life. Have you ever noticed on the road that anybody driving slower than you is an idiot? And anybody driving faster than you is a maniac? You are going the perfect speed. You have it nailed down. You got it figured out. That's perspective. That's all it is. It's just the way that we see things. And our perspective, again, has much to do with our attitude and whether or not we're going to complain. How you see life determines how you live life. So I'm titling this message, Fortunately, Unfortunately. And let me give you the reason for that and explain that title just a little bit. When our children, we have four of them, when they were younger, we would play this game on road trips, Fortunately, Unfortunately. We didn't have the phones and iPads, so we had to do other stuff. And so we'd be driving down the road, and we'd play this game. And the way it starts, it's just an improv thing, and somebody starts it off, for instance, unfortunately. And it's best with an even number of people, either 2, 4, 6. You can do it with odd, but it's best to do even because somebody is assigned fortunately and somebody is assigned unfortunately. And it's just putting good in the bad or putting bad in the good. For instance, unfortunately, there's a pandemic virus going around. Fortunately, they're working on the problem. Unfortunately, we can't gather at church. Fortunately, technology lets us still have church. Unfortunately, people have died. Fortunately, the recovery rate is high. And that's how the game goes. You can have a lot of fun with that. And here's the thing about the news, ABC, NBC, and just whatever letters you want to string together. They major on the unfortunately. They major on the negative side. I've heard very little about the recovery rate, and I would think if you could put that out there, the recovery rate, it would help lessen the panic just a little bit. But if you lessen the panic, more people may not tune in. The worse the news, the more viewers you have. The more viewers you have, the more money you make. I would like a little good news every now and then in the mix of it, but you kind of dig for that and look for that. If somebody dies from the COVID-19 and they are 17 years old, and I don't know that that's happened yet, they're going to tell you how old that person was. A 17-year-old has died. But a 101-year-old woman in Japan just survived COVID-19. Had to look that one up. Another man died from the virus. His age wasn't given. He was 90. We value all life, but it helps me to know that the recovery rate is high, and that helps lessen panic. So, stated this last week, be careful of how much intake you're taking in from all the news. I know we've got a case in Angleton now. Can I just tell you, I already knew last week we had a case in Angleton. Ooh, he's got the inside scoop. No, they've told us that you don't show the symptoms from anywhere from 2 to 10 days. So the odds are somebody has it. So I already knew somebody had it. Now we just know who. Can I just tell you, there's some others out there that have it too. We just need to be careful of the news intake, and we're going to have to take in some faith words to battle our fear words, all right? So the game, Fortunately, Unfortunately, title of the message, the same. So a personal story, and I'm going to kind of illustrate this again as I go somewhere dealing with this word perspective, but this isn't improv. This is a true story. But I'll start it out with the Fortunately, Unfortunately pattern there. Fortunately, when I was in high school, I was in the jazz band, and we were invited to go to Hawaii. That's good, isn't it? Unfortunately, they weren't going to go until the following year, and I would have graduated by then. Fortunately, all the seniors that graduated were invited to go since they were a part of the group that was actually invited. Unfortunately, we had to pay. Fortunately, we received a discount. And so it goes, and me and two of my senior friends went to Hawaii with the stage band. Now, this is before Jesus. This is a long time ago, like 40 years or so. And I can tell you that me and my two friends, because we weren't part of the actual band anymore, the band had a little schedule, a little tour thing that they had to do, and they had to keep their schedule. We were on our own. For us, that was fortunately. For the band directors, that was unfortunately. So while we're there in Hawaii, for one of our meals, we decided to go to, we've traveled, we've gone a long ways, so we want to go somewhere nice, and we went to the Pizza Hut. Yes, the Pizza Hut was there in Hawaii, and there we're sitting there, my two friends on one side of the booth, I'm sitting on the other side of the booth, and this was in the day, they had them tall red candles with a little black casing, lattice-looking thing on it. Some of you know what I'm talking about, and so that candle's there, and I'm not talking about a fake flame with a remote control, I'm talking about a real fire on the candle. And so we're sitting there at the booth, ordered our pizza and all of that. My two friends, again, on one side, I'm over here. There's a window right here. And all of a sudden, my two friends are excited. They're looking out the window. Well, they're looking at an angle that I can't see what they see. And what they see, they're telling me, is looking good. All right, a couple of girls. And so I can't see. I want to see. So I leaned over to see from their perspective. I had more hair back then. It was longer back then. Did I mention a candle? Can you see the end of this story? And so as I lean, I didn't see anything. I lean back, and all of a sudden, one of my friends, his name was Bobby, begins to slap me in the side of my head. Now, I don't know what's going on, and I am getting mad because a friend of mine is slapping me in the head. I think he's trying to hurt me. He's trying to kill me. I don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden, I smell this smell. The smell of burnt hair. And it dawns on me, he's not trying to take me out, he's trying to put out a fire that's on my head. So my perspective was one thing, his perspective was another thing, and here's the difference. I didn't know what he knew. See, our perspective is based upon what we know or what we think we know, and the problem is we have limited knowledge. God has complete knowledge, so God always has the best perspective. I told you I'm going to give you two words and a point for each one. So here's the first point. God has the ultimate perspective, and He wants to help us. We need to know that even in hard times, God is on our side. God is not against us, and God is working on our behalf. Even when we don't see Him, we can know that He is working on our behalf. So God has the ultimate perspective, and He wants to help us. And I want to give you just an example right out of the Bible. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before He went to the trial and to the crucifixion and eventually gave His life on Calvary's cross, as He was there in the garden, He was praying. And you may know the story, but I want you to consider what an outside observer might have viewed as they watched Jesus pray in the garden. They might have concluded that God doesn't care and God doesn't answer prayer because the first prayer that Jesus prayed was for this cup to pass. If there's another way to do this, let's do that. And God didn't answer that prayer. Have you ever prayed a prayer that God didn't answer? At least didn't answer the way you wanted Him to answer? And then Jesus said, "Nevertheless, thy will be done," and God answered that prayer. And so we're like, well, see, God did answer the prayer. Yeah, He did, but Jesus had to result to the, okay, have it your way, God, prayer. You know what I'm talking about? I want this. Okay, fine, have it your way again. Sometimes we have to pray more than once to really find out what God's trying to do. Jesus prayed three times before He said, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." Sometimes we have to pray past our emotions, past our flesh, and then tune into the heart of God. Something else an observer might have concluded is that Jesus didn't make much of a difference while He was down here. Because while He was praying, Judas shows up with many soldiers and a crowd of people, and they're coming to arrest Jesus. There's hundreds there. Surely in a crowd this size, somebody would stand up and speak up for Jesus. After all, Jesus has helped a lot of people. He's healed people. He's shared the scriptures. He's told stories and parables. He's built relationships. He's eaten with many of them. He provided miracle food, bread and fish for some of them. Surely somebody's going to say, "Hang on, that's Jesus. I'm for Him." But nobody did. Nobody stood up for Jesus. So an outsider might have concluded that Jesus didn't make a difference while He was here. And then also, the outsider would observe this. The observer would see that Jesus was betrayed and conclude that Jesus was all by Himself. The most bitter pill that Jesus had to swallow was the betrayal, not just of a stranger, but of His own disciples. The Bible says this: all of the followers of Jesus left Him and ran away. It wasn't just Peter. all of the disciples had pledged to follow him and to be loyal, and all of them ran away. That means Matthew, Simon, Thomas, John the Beloved. All of them forsook Jesus. Again, still talking about perspective. So from a human point of view, from a man perspective, the world of Jesus has collapsed. There's no answer from heaven. There's no help from the people. And there's no loyalty from his friends. But what did Jesus see? What was his perspective? Jesus saw something entirely different. He wasn't oblivious to the bad. He just wasn't limited to it. Jesus didn't allow his circumstances to determine his outlook. And I understand, this is Jesus. We may not do it as well, but this is our model. This is our example. This is who we are trying to be like. Here's what Jesus saw. Three things Jesus saw. Number one, he saw good and bad. He saw some good in the bad. When Judas came up, the one who betrayed him, he called him friend. Jesus and Judas have hung around for 3 years. They've eaten together. They've talked, had many conversations. They've had good times. Jesus cared for him. And I think it would do us good to remember that those who hurt us, those who betray us, they are victims of a fallen world. And maybe because of that, we can offer some mercy and offer some grace. Jesus saw good and bad. Jesus also saw purpose in the pain. 98 words that Jesus spoke at his arrest. Out of those 98 words that came out of his mouth, 30 of them referred to the purpose of God. So a good question that I would ask myself and encourage you to ask yourself is, when you're in a difficult situation, what kind of words are coming out? Because it's in that difficult situation it reveals our heart the most. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's easy to say the positive things and the right things when everything is good, the bills are paid, the yard is mowed, and everybody's loving on you. But what happens when things go south, when somebody bumps you? I heard it illustrated this way once. You can have a styrofoam cup, and you can say that it's water, but when somebody bumps you, what's in the cup comes out. You can say what's in there all you want, but when you get bumped, what's really in there is what's going to spill out. And you can say, my heart is this, my heart is filled with this, my heart is full of that. But when you get bumped, what's in your heart, that's what comes out. So Jesus saw purpose in the pain. The third thing, Jesus saw his Father's presence in the problem. Matthew 26, verse 53, Jesus says this, surely, you know, I could ask my Father, and he would give me more than 12 legions of angels. We need to see God's presence in the middle of this pandemic thing that we're going through. There is some good in the bad. And there is some purpose in the pain. And God is not absent, but he's in the mix of it. He has not left us or forsaken us. God has a plan. You may not be privy to it. You may not know the full plan of God. But just because you don't know it, don't mean he don't have it. So trust God that he is there and that he is working even when you don't see him working. So let me wrap this up on the word perspective. Life is filled with fortunately and unfortunately. But for those who belong to him, we can know that even the unfortunate works for our good. That's what Romans 8:28 tells us. So may the Lord help us maintain a positive outlook in our more challenging seasons. And then I'm going to give you a verse on this word before we go to the second word. And again, we won't spend as much time on it. But Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says this, let your hope keep you joyful. Be patient in your troubles and pray at all times. I think that's three good things that we need to hang on to in this season. Do you have hope? I have hope. Let your hope keep you joyful. Let your hope push away stress and fear and anxiety. Let your hope keep you joyful. Be patient in your troubles. We're all there. Some are more challenged by this than others. I understand that. But be patient in your troubles and pray at all times, even more so now, right? So, perspective. Seeing things from a God perspective more than a man perspective. The second word is opportunity. Opportunity. I mentioned that there is good in the bad. Some of you, I know you have. You've already seen some good things. Yeah, just one is, there's some great memes out there, aren't there? Man, there are some bright, clever people in this world. I've gotten on Facebook a lot more than I wasn't on it at all, but I've had to get on, and now I'm finding myself just getting caught up in it. But the memes out there are amazing. So there's some good, some entertainment on your phone. I heard this testimony from a family. He said, you know, we've been eating at the table. We haven't eaten it together at the table in years. That's a good. Moms and dads are playing board games with their kids at the house. You can go out in the yard and throw a baseball. You just can't pull a team together. Even though there's only nine, the other team has nine. You have to add them 18, done. You know, my boy plays ball, senior this year. Looks like the baseball season could be tanked. I don't like it, and guess what? I complained a little bit. We all get there, and then we have to pull up and regain perspective and take another look and realize that there is good in the bad, there's purpose in the pain, and God is still in the middle of it all. Projects can get done at the house now. If for some of you that can't go to work, you got time. But then this went through my mind, because I've got a doorknob that needs to be fixed. But I got to thinking, I got time. I'll fix that doorknob. If Home Depot's open, I'll fix that doorknob. It just depends. You know, gas has gone way, way, way down. I know that's not always good in the big picture of things, but isn't it just a little ironic that gas is this cheap and we can't go anywhere? Yeah. And then I love the memes. Yeah, I'm still talking about memes a little bit. The homeschool memes. Oh, those are classic. The homeschool moms are like, woohoo! Because there's a lot of other moms and people out there realizing, oh, wow, this is what y'all do. Whole lot more respect for the homeschool moms, because some of us were homeschooling before the pandemic. And then you know what moms and dads are figuring out as their kids are at home all day now and they're trying to homeschool? They're figuring out that maybe everything the teacher said about their kid wasn't wrong. It's easy to believe your kid does no wrong when they're with somebody else. Let me give you the second point. The first one dealt with perspective. God has the ultimate perspective, and he wants to help us. The second and final point today is we have a unique opportunity, and we can help others. The church has a unique opportunity. The church isn't gathering as usual, but it's not a time to go on break. It's not a time to lay down and let this thing pass. Technology allows us to do some things. And there are still some things that we can do with less than 10 people. So we don't want to just call, you know, forever spring break until summer gets here for the church. We have to stay in touch in this season of no touch. The Lord's command on the Great Commission was to go. And now the government's telling us to stay. How are we going to go while we stay? We're going right now. Technology allows us to go in a different kind of a way. We have begun a new ministry here at our church, and some have responded. I'll just let you know what it is. If you are out there and you fall in the high-risk category, and just a little side note, if you're not in the high-risk, that doesn't mean you're in the no-risk. It means you're in the low-risk. How many of y'all know there's a difference between low-risk and no-risk? But if you're in the high-risk category, and you are uncomfortable getting out with any size group, and you have decided, I'm just going to self-quarantine, we would love to help you do that. If you need groceries, you can call the church, and then we've got another list of people who have volunteered to help do the delivery thing, kind of our Uber system. And so if you need something, call us. If you can offer something, call us. If you need toilet paper and you don't want to get out there and fight the crowd for the toilet paper, call us. Somebody else will go fight the crowd for you. Or we'll have a team come and wrap your house. That way you've got toilet paper and they had fun. Or we could just knock on the door and give it to you. So we want to do what we can to capitalize on the unique opportunity that we have. Seriously, if you are high risk and don't want to get out, get in touch with us and let us know, and we will do what we can to help you. You know, my father-in-law, who went to be with Jesus before all this started, his favorite little phrase was, "And it came to pass." This will come to pass. But meanwhile, while it's here, let's, as the church, do what we can do to minister to the needs of people. Amen? Does anybody else believe, like I do, that God just might be up to something right now? Yeah, I absolutely believe it. I'm not going to sit here and try to pretend I got it all figured out, but I'm seeing some things, and I believe God is up to something. See, God is not quarantined. God's Spirit is not quarantined. He's not on lockdown, but He is moving around. I was watching Pastor Robert Morris, pastor of the big church Gateway in the Dallas area. They have 35,000 people go through their premises, through their campus on any weekend. 35,000. They were live streaming starting last week. They started a week ahead of us. And he said, I mean, an empty building. He said they had 195,000 people do church with them on live stream. 195,000. Craig Groeschel, a lot of you will know the name. Also a big mega church pastor. Great guy, great leader. He said he prays on average with 1,000 people on a weekend. He prays with about 1,000 people to receive Jesus or to reconnect with Jesus, to ask Jesus to come into their heart. However you want to phrase it, for salvation, Craig Groeschel prays on average with about 1,000 people per weekend. Last weekend, prayed with 15,000 people that wanted to give their heart to Jesus. God is up to something. So don't complain that we can't gather. We're gathering right now. And we're going to gather like this as long as we need to. And then when we come back, it's going to be a big day. We're going to have a lot. It might be before Easter. It might not. But when we come back, it's going to be a big day. Until then, let's have church. Let's stay in connection with each other. Use that phone for more than Angry Birds, right? Angry Birds. That one's old, isn't it? I think that one's gone. I don't know what the newest game is, but use that phone to call somebody. It's a phone. Imagine that. You can call people with that device in your pocket. Stay in touch. Stay connected. So here's what I want to do. If you're out there and you're watching me, and maybe you were invited to plug in, or maybe you just kind of stumbled upon it, maybe you've never asked Jesus into your life to forgive you of your sins. Or maybe you grew up in church, and you knew church, and you accepted Jesus, but for whatever reason, hardships of life, or just you know, life going on, you've disengaged, you've unplugged, and you feel like it'd be a good time to get your heart back right with God. It is a good time. It's no better time. But what I would like to do, I would like to pray with you right now. And so if you're there, just in your own way, just agree with me as I pray. And then I would like you to do one more thing after I say amen. I would like you to use that email address I gave you earlier, sandy@angletonfirst.org. And I'd like you just to send an email and say, hey, my name is so-and-so, and give us some contact information so we can follow up and send you something, and just say, I did this today. I prayed to receive Jesus in my heart, or I prayed to rededicate my life to the Lord. Whatever you want to say, but let us know. But right now, if that is you, you need to know this. I'm not saying you're a bad person, but here's what we're saying. It doesn't matter how good you are. Without Jesus, you fall short of the glory of God. Nobody gets in without Jesus. And it's not Jesus or some other option. Jesus said He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way except by Him. So Jesus is not the best option of many. Jesus is the only option there is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And listen, if you're just, well, what about the others? The others that died stayed dead. Jesus died and rose again on the third day, and is alive right now. That's how you know that Jesus is the one true one. Jesus is the way. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. If you want to receive Him, just agree with me as I pray. Can we just bow our heads together? Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank You for a way out. Thank You that no matter how good it gets down here, how bad it gets down here is not all there is. Father, even if we live to be 110 years old, it's just a short span of time against the backdrop of eternity. So, Father, I thank You that You gave us eternal life through Jesus. and that all we have to do is to receive Him. And Lord, right now, if there's anybody out there that you're stirring in their heart, I pray that you just confirm in their spirit that they indeed belong to you. Why don't you just say these words with me? Say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I confess my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I believe in Jesus, that he died for me, and that he rose from the dead, and that he lives for me right now. I call on you to rescue me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.